Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. You guys are going to love this story for sure. So I'm sick. Woe is me. I have a cold. I'm acting like, you know, sorry to the dudes, but it's like a man cold situation where I'm just like tired. I can't get out of the bed. I want everyone to do everything for me. And I really don't feel good. But in perfect timing, as it would with parenting, Larson fell at cheer last night and hurt her ankle. So we were at the urgent care this morning getting an x-ray, and it's not broken, but she's definitely in a boot and hurting. But we walk in and I look like death. Like, I'm so messy bun. My eyes are all swollen, and I walk in and they're staring at me like, yes, ma'am, can we help you? And I'm like, no, it's not me. It's my daughter and her ankle. So that tells you how I'm looking these days. Thankfully, I don't have to see these interviews on video. Maybe I should take a picture. It's real pretty. Okay, today's episode, my dear friend, Krista Gilbert. And I say this every time, but I mean it. You guys are going to love her, love this conversation. And I wasn't even sure how to title it because we cover all kinds of topics. She's an empty nester. She sent her kids off. We talk about joy and sorrow and how she's feeling both of those things. We talk about looking back, what she wished she would have done again. Then we get into codependency. And I have a little life counseling, life coaching with my friend that is a life coach, Krista, about how do we deal with that when we make them our all, and it goes over into maybe some codependency. So we cover it all. So get excited. You will feel like she's your best friend. And that's why she's the best life coach ever, is because she sits, she listens, she relates, she encourages, and then somehow you leave that meeting feeling so great about yourself, but very aware of opportunities that you could grow in. So just listen to every bit of it. The last 10 minutes are epic because she goes through specifically some of the traditions and celebrations that she's done with her kids and her family. And I just love it. And don't be intimidated. These are just ideas and conversation starters, but I promise you're going to want to swipe a couple of these and take them with you. And she doesn't go through all of her ideas, and made sure we have something to link to. So in the show notes and also at her website, KristaGilbert.com. You can go over there and download 5 ways to use celebration and traditions to create a closer family. Isn't that the goal? I don't want to just be busy and look like a Pinterest mom. I want to be using things that will seal our love for them in their hearts, give us moments to grow closer between parents and kids and the family all together. So I think you'll enjoy that down link. And again, it's KristaGilbert.com. 5 ways to use celebration and traditions to create a closer family. Enjoy my precious, amazing friend, Krista. Okay, Krista Gilbert, how are you?
Courtney, this is so fun. I'm so happy to be with you.
Thank you for being here. A couple out of the gate before we press record, you're like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, what is up? Press the up button. And you're like, yeah, I got that. I do podcasts. And my microphone was like across the room. But now we're close.
We know it's a good day when.
That's right. Okay. We were also talking about my hair. So in the heat, actually year round, I really hate to do my hair, and I know it's just not nice and I need to grow up, but it's hot. I have really thick hair, and you do too. So I was asking you, how do you deal with such middle-aged problems?
Right. No, it's real. And we both have big heads. We also established that we can't just fit in the normal hat at Target or wherever, because they literally like sit on top of my head.
Or like squeeze my skull off. I can't handle.
Right. And you get a headache and you get headaches. Right. And we're trying so hard to wear just the normal hat. So no, yeah. I have to like order from the people who have bigger head hats.
Will you give us the links?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gigi Pip but I can send you some. I will be your hat hookup.
Yeah. We said it was like similar to the large calf boots. I'm like, guys, we just want to look cute, but we don't have time to suffer in this way, right?
No, No, and I will tell you, that is a hill I am dying on, is that I no longer will wear shoes that are not comfortable. It's just a hard no at this point.
Okay, I know you already love her, but you're like, y'all are cute. Who are you? So, Krista, tell the good folks who you are, where you are, ages of the kids, all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I love Courtney. That's number one. And I am in the Pacific Northwest, so up here in the upper left. And I've got four kids who are now all leaving me. So they're starting to get really old and going to college. And I have one who actually is, who just got home from Spain. She's been living in Spain teaching there. And my husband and I have been married for 27 years. We met in college, and I spend my days doing a lot of things. I help with the FCA at our high school. I do a lot of, you know, things locally, but I also coach. I'm a life coach. I'm a leadership coach, and I love everything home and family. So I'm hosting a lot of things as well, which I really enjoy.
Which she's being so humble, but I mentioned this in the previous episode with Kristen Hatton, that we both got the chance to go separately to a thing that you do called the Open Door Sisterhood with our buddy Alex. And I will tell you, I said no for like 6 years because it just didn't work out. And then I went this past year and it was life-changing. And so all I will say for you is that I almost cried. I think I did, watching you on your pontoon boat drive through this beautiful lake and host people and love people and dance. And I was like, you are in your zone when you were hosting. And it is so beautiful to say, like, God made you for that. And so I can't wait to get into more of that, of how you were intentional with that. But I just love it about you. And I thank you for the way you impacted me through that.
Thank you. It's truly like one of the greatest joys is to get to gather people like you. And it is a privilege. And that is where, you know, when we walk according to the giftings that God has given us, he opens doors, literally, that we never thought we would walk through. And it's just such a blessing. I mean, and I really, it's all God. I mean, it's not like I deserve any of this, but God just allows it because he loves us and he created us. And we just get to step into that.
I love it. So I want to know how you're feeling. How are you? I think many of us have that. The kids are out of the house. Either we're sad about it or we're like, this is a goal. We act like we're going to finish parenting. Like we're done, but you're not off the clock yet. You're still parenting your grown kids. But how does it feel to be sitting there in a place that many of us are either shooting towards, or it's just a big milestone that we think, are we even going to make it? You know, the people that are changing diapers right now are like, I can't see 18 years. It's just too much. So how are you feeling?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I so remember being there, and now I'm here. And I was always the person who loved having everyone home. I love it. I love their friends. I want to know everything about their friends. I go to Costco, you know, 5 times a week. So their friends come over, you know, like I'm that mom that just loves having everyone over. And I know that's not every mom. And some moms are like, great, I have done my job, and now you get to go launch. But I actually pre-grieved for a lot of when my kids were going to leave for college. I mean, I definitely went through that pre-grieving. And even as they went, I had to incorporate some things, which I know we'll get into later, that helped me to let go, because the letting go is hard for me. It's not something that is maybe as natural for me because of how I'm wired. And so here's what I've learned, Court. I feel like in all stages of life, we travel two sides of the train track. We travel gain and loss, joy and sorrow at the same time. And that is a truth that just keeps coming back over and over and over again for me, of while you have gain, you have loss, right? And it's something my first just got married. So he graduated from college, he got married, and he's starting graduate school across the country in North Carolina in the fall. And this is all new too. And I was sitting at dinner with my husband and my son, Dawson, and I, and we were talking Gonzaga basketball, because we are huge Gonzaga basketball fans, because we are up in the Northwest, right? Like, and he's going to Duke Divinity, which is like, you know, the Duke team has been just the team to hate because they always kick us out of March Madness and, you know, they're always just so good. And he's like, I'm going into enemy territory. So we're, you know, we're talking and we're talking about all this, right? Super light, like, and so he and my husband are talking about how he's going to covertly, you know, enter into, you know, their practices and scope it out and call Mark Few and tell him what's up. Well, like right in the middle of this very like lighthearted, you know, funny conversation, he looks at me and he's got these really beautiful, like penetrating green eyes that I've been looking at for my whole life. And he looks at me. And in that moment, he's like 10. And I look at him and I realize this is the last week he's ever going to live with us. And I'm like, where did the time go? And I just like suddenly it was like sand, you know, just slipping through my fingers. And in this very like weird, you know, back and forth, I literally started bawling. And that both Eric and Dawson are looking at me like, what just happened? We're talking like Duke and Gonzaga basketball. And you're, and I'm literally ready to like throw my face in my plate and just like, you know, and just cry because I just in that moment was so sad and yet like so happy because we absolutely love our new daughter. Like we love her. And she's a blessing and a precious gift. And we're so excited about that. And at the same time, there's this loss of what has been of he's never going to live with us again. And he's moving across the country for who knows how long and how long, you know, they'll be away. It could be many, many years. And so again, right, that loss and that gain at the same time happening, and they're both equally true. And that is something that I think I'm always also coming back to is that they both are true and two things can be true at one time.
Yeah. Gosh, I love it so much. And I'm just thinking of, I don't know if I've told you this, which is really sweet, but when your son's now mother-in-law, Wendy, picked me up from the airport to come to the retreat, we were sitting at lunch and I'm always like, you know, peppering people with questions. I'm like, you have older kids. Tell me. And she said, I would pray for their spouse. And then she got big tears in her eyes. And she said, and so if you don't know, Wendy and Krista's kids just married each other. She said, when I saw Dawson and looked in the eyes of a prayer request that I've been praying for years, she said, I can't describe the feeling. And I mean, those eyes, I'm telling you, his wedding pictures, I'm like, holy smokes. But it was just so sweet to remind me that like, we can pray for these things and it may not turn out exactly as we had hoped, but she said she had such just the sweetest moment with the Lord when she looked at him. And so what a cool full circle thing for you and your family. I love that wisdom.
Yeah. And you know what, the other thing that I, you know, so there's two things I think that are, have been helpful for me. And I just want to even go put on my coaching hat a little bit because literally everything I learn in coaching, I have to put on myself. Like I have to employ myself. And one of those things is just the simple statement, I have a choice. I have a choice how I'm going to think about things, I'm moving on from the, you know, marriage conversation because it's really easy for me to love that. But maybe there's a loss that you didn't choose, or maybe there is a situation that is super challenging and it's really hard to have joy in that. And we have to come back to that we are not victims of our circumstance. And again, I'm preaching to myself here. Like these are things I have to tell myself all the time, but I have a choice in how I move forward and how I think about this. And that has been really helpful for me just as a tool to be empowered that I don't have to just stay where I am in this spot. I have a choice of how I move forward. And then the second thing is really hunting the good. And this is actually from the Army has an incredible resilience program that they do with their military to help them like in post-traumatic stress disorder and to help them with that. And with other, you know, just the intensity and the stress that they go through, they have this incredible program they put people through. And one of their tenets is to hunt the good. And that means you don't just say, oh, I'm so grateful today. Oh, I'm so thankful for this or whatever. You actually train your brain neuroscientifically to look for very specific things that you are going to call out that is good in the world. And what's brilliant about it is that you literally are training the neural pathways of your brain when you do that, because it's just like when you say, okay, I'm going to buy a car, and you start looking at red cars. And then all of a sudden on the road, you're like, I had no idea there's so many red cars in the world. Well, yeah. The same thing is true. When we start looking for good, all of a sudden we start seeing good everywhere. And that helps us retrain, because unfortunately the brain is like Teflon with good and like Velcro with bad, which is why we remember the bad comments and the negative, right? Like all that stuff sticks, whereas like the good stuff just kind of like slides off. And so we have to get really intentional in bossing our brain and telling it what to think. And we're going to tell it what to think by hunting the good and really calling that out. So those have just been two things that have been really helpful for me over the years.
Yes. Gosh, it's so good. And you're the best coach. I failed to mention that we were in a mastermind group after we left that retreat for the last year. And I can honestly say I would not be in this seat in this job without the courage and the confidence you gave me to kind of get back to who I was and how God wired me. We didn't see this coming, did we? But I am so thankful for the way you coach. Okay. I want to ask you about practical. I always go, this is why we're good friends, because you go mindset, you go up, and I go deep into the practical. So tell me, can you share without throwing your kids under the bus, but is there a time in motherhood you can remember where you really had to lean into that, where you had to think about your choice and think about looking at the good when something was just not how you saw it coming? So maybe there's a mom out there that's like, what do you mean? How do I even do that?
Oh gosh. Well, okay. Just, I parented four kids and
full stop.
And they all now are at least teenagers and older. So, when I say we've had a lot of things, I mean, you know, I could talk about a lot of things, and I, you know, part of it is I do have to be careful because it's a lot of these things are their story, but we've had severe concussions. We've had loneliness. We've had some substance abuse. We've had, screen time conflicts and internet, conflicts. We've had discussions around curfew, a move, friendship problems, overreacting, children not being respectful. I mean, we've run the gamut, right? And I think by the time our kids are in those later teen years, a lot of us have run the gamut of situations. And one of the things we do best as moms is when, at least for me, and maybe people are wired differently, but this is how often I react, is when something happens with one of my kids, I automatically point the finger back to myself and I say, what did I do wrong? And why am I such a failure as a mom? And what did I do or didn't do that created this situation in my child's life? And that is so unhealthy. And I will say now, is there a place for sober judgment and for us to call out maybe our own sin? 100% yes. Or call out maybe where we have been neglectful. I'm not saying like, let's take ourselves completely off the hook, but we also slide into that place of codependency. And if people haven't read that book, Codependent No More, it is very insightful. And I don't love every single thing about the book, but what I do love is it really helps parents to separate and to say, that is my child and they are separate from me. And I am me and I am separate from my child. And we are both responsible for our own decisions. And to not kind of fall into that slippery slope of everything they do reflects on me somehow and everything I do reflects on them. And so then it's like there's that weird enmeshment that happens that's not healthy. And so when I say, like, have I had to apply these mindset techniques? Yes, because also I have to say, I have a choice how I handle this. And I am going to see this as an opportunity for growth instead of a nail in the coffin on, oh my gosh, this means X for my child for the rest of their life, right? Like, and how we approach our children. I mean, we want to be hope bearers, people who carry hope in every situation. And when we're too enmeshed in their decisions, we can't be that to them. We actually become controlling. We become overbearing because we're trying to control what's happening instead of freeing up ourselves and them to, well, first of all, leave room for God. And secondly, to truly be their advocate and truly help them learn from their experience, because we're removed enough to do that. We're detached enough to do that. Not detached in a bad way. It's actually detached in a good way, so that we're not just jumping in.
Right. Well, I feel a little sweaty. You just kind of got in my business a little bit, but like, I definitely lean more towards codependency than I do neglect. And I've had to, it's becoming real. I mean, Ella is a junior, and I'm like, I got to get this in check. And I remember some of the deepest tears I cried was, I must cry when you said that, because I thought it was my fault. I created this. I've wrecked her life. You know, when I've made a mistake, and man, I know so many moms are saying, thank you for calling that out, because I do it all the time. And I don't think we even realize it. We're just constantly blaming ourselves. Let's go back to letting go, because I think you mentioned it earlier. And how did you start letting go? And at what age? Has it just been a process, or when have you started intentionally letting go?
Yeah, so early. I mean, so early. I feel like it starts in, really, I think it starts when kids, if they go to school, it starts then. I mean, some choose to homeschool, but for many, they put their kindergartner on the bus, and it starts then. But I think it happens over time, where we have to grow the funnel, right? So we start small at the narrow end of the funnel, and then it widens as kids get older. And we have to trust them more. And we also have to, and then when they break trust, then we have to come back to center together and figure out, you know, what that's going to look like for a while. But then we have to let go again and broaden that trust again. We can't just keep our kids in that place of, you know, narrowing that funnel again, when really, like, the whole point of parenting is that we help them get to the place where they can thrive as adults, right? Like, that's the point. Mm-hmm. That's part of our job, is to help them be people who are, one, healthy on the inside, which is the most important part. And we may need other people to help with that. So counselors or coaches or mentors or, you know, a certain peer group. But they're going to need lots of help along the way, because we know that adolescents are struggling. We know that in this, it is when they say you don't understand, you didn't experience this, we can say with 100% clarity, you are right. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. This is a different world. This is a different time you're growing up in. And I know it's harder than it was for us. Yeah. And so we have to help them, and we have to surround them with the people and things that will help bolster them to become those thriving adults. And part of that is them having freedom and having choice, and then learning how to do that and being okay when they fall and make mistakes, because that's the path of growth. The path of growth is never linear. It's never just a straight up line. It's up, down, up, down, up, down. But hopefully the trajectory overall is going up.
Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is, IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. I think I know the answer. That's so good. I think I know the answer to this, but do you feel like you're better at it with number four than you were with number one? Do you have to go back to the first one and say, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
No, my line to my firstborn is consistently, God knew you would be first. I have nothing else to say except that. We cut our teeth on you. I am so sorry, but that is, you know, but she had some benefits that the others didn't have. We got wiser as we went along. But yeah. She also, unfortunately, bore a lot of my own inexperience. And honestly, we've had to work through that. And we have had to grapple with that a little more as she became an adult. And I had someone kind of come in and help us with a few things. And that was, you know, let's not be people who are afraid to ask for help. Let's not be, because you have a different relationship with every child. And there may be some things with one child, even like, let's say as a firstborn, that the others won't have because you were a different parent with that child. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, let's ask for help and be humble enough to say, like, okay, we may need a third party here to come help us with this issue. And then be free. You know, it's just, yesterday I was having this conversation with a mom, and she literally said that she just got before her daughter, and she just said, please forgive me. I have been trying to control you. I have not loved you unconditionally. Mm. I have put expectations on you that have made you feel like you can't be yourself or you can't share things with me. She just like asked for forgiveness for all of it, and it healed their relationship. And so I guess my encouragement is, and Kelly Flanagan talks about this a lot, and he is a therapist that we've had on our podcast, and I love him so much, but he talks about how we're either usually resisting a narrative, so we hold up our hand and resist a narrative, or we attach to something we want. In both of those, we try and control. And he said, what would it look like if we just open our hands and we just invite God into whatever space we're in and say, God, help me through this space and what to do next? And that has been a life-changing concept for me. But how that applies in this situation is, I think sometimes we resist the narrative of like, no, I didn't do that as a mom. I wasn't like that. That wasn't my heart. That wasn't my intention. But maybe the reality, maybe the opening up our hands is, but that child is hurt in this way because of this, whether you intended it or not. And so what would it look like to just invite God into that space? And maybe that's just like that mom yesterday where you say, please forgive me. And you're just like totally humbled before that child. Or maybe inviting God into that space means, God, we need help with this. And so I'm going to go seek a counselor mm-hmm. or a pastor or a mentor. But I think that concept alone has really helped me in the process of letting go and of being on the other side where we're launching kids and even trying to work through our new kind of adult to young adult relationship.
I love that. I want to throw a curveball that I thought of. It's not really hard. You'll be able to get this, but I'm thinking about you and I and how we have had like 9 lives, many jobs. They look all different. And it's so hard to discern what is. So in the camp of codependency, there's been seasons where I'm like, I'm just going to focus on them. And God led me to that, but I can also become hyper-focused on them. So, and I can see why a lot of women have breakdowns when they graduate, because it's like, I don't even know what to do with myself. I don't even recognize myself. I don't even know how to dream anymore. So what would you tell to all the moms, but even young moms that are like, I want to be so present for my kids, but I also want to be me and feel alive and contribute to the world. So that is a loaded question, but how did you experience that? And what would you tell a young mom?
I would say there are seasons for everything. And mm-hmm. it's okay to be in a season and to give yourself freedom to be in that season. I had another conversation this week with a friend whose child has passed away in the past couple of years. And she said to me yesterday that she has no regrets with this child because she spent more time with him in his 20 years than most parents spend with their kids in a lifetime. Wow. And she said, I honestly can stand here and say, I am so grateful for the time I invested in him and that relationship because it was so life-giving when he was alive. Wow. And though we only had 20 years with him, that was enough. That was okay. Now, obviously she would never choose that. But she was saying no regrets. And that is our hope. Is that we would have no regrets. And part of that is allowing us to lean into the season that we're in. So let me just give an example on both sides, professionally and personally. So my kids were younger. I did go full throttle into just during a season of spending time with them. And it wasn't until I was 40 that I really began to add in more of my professional life into that rhythm as well. And then now the season I'm in, I actually get a run pretty hard professionally and I am loving it. I'm having so much fun. And I think that too is just a nod to the season. Like I'm in a season where I'm freed up to do that and where I am freed up to run hard in that. And that brings joy to me. And I think it's that whole thing that God has something for us in every season and he's never done with us. Yeah. And so thank God for that, because also my kids need to see that I'm not just not home moping around, that they're gone now and that they're off doing their thing. They need to see me thriving mm-hmm. and me seeking growth and allowing God to really use my gifts and skills in this season. And that's really healthy for both of us. And so I don't know if that helps answer that, but I think it's just giving ourselves the freedom to not feel behind, to not feel like we're somehow missing it. That is the key right there. I think so many of us feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, I'm missing it. I am somehow missing the opportunity. I'm late. I'm behind. I should have done that, you know, yesterday. And that's just not truth, that God's timing is perfect for every one of us. And he will provide opportunities and ways to make things happen. And there's no age to that. There's no expiration date to that. And we do want to be people of no regrets. And so ask yourself in this season, again, questions are the best to draw out what is true. Ask yourself in this season, what is most important? In this season, so what deserves the best of me? And I bet you will be able to have real clarity and discernment after just asking those two questions.
You are the best question asker. Is that the right way? You ask the best questions. It's why you're a great coach, but that is such great wisdom. Okay, man, I have like 30 more, but we don't have time. So let me get to something that I know is on your heart because you've written a book about it. You have a course about it on your website, Design Your Life, but kind of the way you operate with your home, being intentional with the way it's designed, the function of it, the memories, the time, the traditions. Can we talk a bit about that? And if you're not wired that way, how can you help a mom see that like this is important? Because we've talked in previous episodes about, all right, well, let's identify what is even important to you. What are your values? And then how do you trickle that down into your parenting? But you're saying it even matters how you trickle it into your very home and what you're looking at and what you're displaying. So there's like a big question, but go wherever your heart desires to encourage people.
Well, I mean, I think it'd be fun to get really practical. And one of the best things, when I asked my daughter, what is, in retrospect, one of the best things we did in parenting? She said, oh, hands down, my night. And so what we did when our kids were young is every kid had a night. And so they would call it my night. This is my night. So Monday was Kenna, Tuesday, you know, so everybody had a night. And honestly, it was no big deal, but they got to stay up 15, usually sometimes half an hour later than everybody else. And we just spent time together and we played games or they got to cook something or whatever. Right. But like every week that builds on itself. And so that's mainly for younger kids. But what we tried to do as our kids got older was really carry that one-on-one concept and continue that. So we would take them on a trip or, you know, I would take one of them with me somewhere. Like if I had a speaking engagement, I would make it a fun thing for us and we'd stay another day longer or whatever. And kids are different when they're by themselves than they are when they're with their siblings. They're different and you interact with them differently. And so number one, I'd say one-on-one time was hands down probably the best thing that we did in parenting. And then I would say the other things that have mattered a lot are our rituals that we have with we use birthdays for that. So at different marks, different birthdays, like the 10-year-olds, they go on a trip with my parents by themselves. When they turn 13, we have a special walk that they do. And it's everybody meets them. It's like this dirt road that leads down to this creek. And everybody meets them on the road. And we try and do something that's kind of specific to that child. So like one of our kids, we did books. And so everyone picked a book that has been life-changing for them. And they presented that book to that person and said, why? This book has meant so much to them. And then for another child that's not as much of a reader, we did objects. So like my dad did a money jar and he explained how stewardship of money is so important. My mom, she did, you know, a rock and things around legacy. And so that has been really special and so personal. And then, you know, at 16, we do something else. At 18, we meet with people who have been influential in their lives to really thank them for pouring into our child over their childhood. And then they speak into them. And, okay. I will tell you, this is one for parents who may have kids going to college. This is like probably been one of the most important rituals that we've done. And that is before our kids go to college, we take them on a weekend by themselves and we take them to the Oregon coast and we go to the same place. And there's this beach that I found on the Oregon coast that nobody goes to because you have to hike to it. And
I'm out.
Well, okay. Anyway, we have this whole like, right. It's really fun town. Cause Courtney, if you've never been to the Oregon coast, you have to go. I'll just say that.
I have been. It's gorgeous.
It's so beautiful. So right. It's really fun. There's fun restaurants. We do fun things. Like we're just doing fun things and we're walking around and we're getting saltwater taffy. But then on the Saturday night, my husband goes down ahead of time and he sets up a campfire and chairs and kind of this special little thing. And no one else is on this big, incredible beach. And we literally tell that we go over all the practicals. So throughout the weekend, like I have a whole list, it's actually on my website, but I have a whole list of things I want to cover. Like, okay, substance abuse, date rape, especially for girls, like real practicals. What happens if you get overwhelmed with your studies? What do you do? What happens, you know, if you're falling behind in finances? What do you do? Right? Like all the practicals. But then Saturday night, we actually gather around the fire and we tell the child why it has been such a gift to raise him or her. It makes me cry just thinking about it because I have these visuals of my kids.
Krista, this is incredible.
But then I get to say everything I want to say to them. I need to get it together.
Everything I want to say to
that child as they're launching into college and we are transitioning to a different phase, I get to tell them all that I see in them. I get to tell them what it has meant to be their mom. I didn't expect to cry.
Okay.
Anyway, so moving on.
Krista, I am doing this. I'm doing this.
So here's what I love about it, Court. So we have this time. It's so special. Both Eric and I get to say everything throughout the weekend. The practical things we want to say about college, but then also like the really deep heart things. And then when it's time to say goodbye, when you're standing in the freshman dorm and all they want to do is get to the freshman event that's being, you know, because that moment is always not what you want it to be. It's like, oh, okay, I got to go. There's like this, right? Like you're setting up their room and then all of a sudden they're like, I got to go. And so you hug and it's like, goodbye, you know? And because I've said everything I wanted to say, I literally can just be like, okay, bye. Okay.
Wow.
See you later. Wow. And it frees me in that moment. So I would say that's probably the most important ritual that we've done as they've gotten older.
Krista, I'm trying to pull it together because this is so good and I can't wait. There's several of them that I was like, shoot, I missed that one. But this is what I can still do. I'm so pumped. Yeah, totally. But it makes me think as a mom, I was so like, quantity over quality and thinking we probably have this list of like every year we have to do this and this and this. And really those rituals don't have to be that often, but they can be more meaningful. And it sounds like you had, you know, all kinds of activity, but you really were intentional about making sure those big milestones were something that they remembered and impacted their life. And oh, what a gift. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful that we've had those moments because life honestly is made of moments. That's what we remember. We don't really remember life in this general sense. We remember moments. And so I think in terms of how do we create moments, and they don't have to be all that often. Like you said, it doesn't have to be like all the time where we're just exhausted as moms, but how do we create those special times where we're doing that deep heart sharing that actually really, you know, it's that deep speaks to deep and where the souls really connect, and that matters.
Yeah, man, Krista, you are the best mom, and people are going to love this episode. For some reason, I have my friend Lindsay Harrison in mind, and she commented yesterday, I can't wait for this series. And I think all of us as moms want to be a team. We're like, what did you learn? Like you're ahead on the marathon. What did you learn? What do I, you know, how do I fuel myself for this journey? So can you think about the younger Krista and think about, as I'm thinking about Lindsay, what you would have wanted someone to tell you or what you can look back and say, man, I wish she knew this. And we can end with that and any other encouragement you have for this audience.
Yeah. I mean, one, just man, not put so much pressure on myself to be the perfect mom. I mean, that, especially when my kids were younger, that was just a pressure that was not necessary. And I didn't need to be a perfect mom because God uses imperfect vessels. That is like, that is the whole Bible. And so where I got that idea, I'm not sure. And, but it was a lie and I needed to get rid of that. And I felt like throughout mothering, honestly, as I was so imperfect that I'm like, okay, good. I'm learning this, you know, because my kids aren't perfect and I'm not perfect. But I'd say the other thing, Court, is trust that grace will meet you in every season, and things that you think you can't handle, you will be able to because God will give his spirit to you in that moment and not before. And I was just saying this to a friend the other day that I have such a stronger stroke now. You know, if we're like in a boat and we're paddling Like my stroke as a mom is so much stronger because here's what I know. We've gone through hard things. We have. And God has met me in each one, and I could do more and I could handle more than I ever thought I could because of his grace. But he didn't give that to me before. So we say things like, oh, I could never go through that. Or I can't imagine that. Well, we can't, because God's grace isn't meeting us in that moment. But if it happens, he will be there and he will give us what we need. And I have come to trust that as just solid ground to stand on as a mom. Wow. And so what I wish I would have known is I wish I would have trusted that more and just let go and allowed myself the freedom to, one, just enjoy where I was more in that season, but also just to not worry and be anxious, because knowing that if something does happen, God will be there. And that is the most important thing. And that is what we need in that moment.
Wow. Wow. Krista, y'all are seeing now why she's one of my favorite people in the world, and they're going to want to find you. They're going to want to scoop up everything you've written and said, because you're just so real. Your heart is massive, and I can't thank you enough for doing this. So tell people where they can connect with you.
Well, my website, KristaGilbert.com, is great. And I have a course that will be opening soon, depending on when this airs, but you can either sign up for the wait list. It's called Design Your Life, and it really does dive into how do we live by our highest priorities and what really is the best use of our time. Like, so that when we look back, just like that mom that I referenced, when we look back, we can say, I have no regrets. And so that's coming soon. And of course, Instagram, Krista T. Gilbert. I would love to connect with anyone there too.
And y'all go look at her hat game, strong hat game on the Instagram.
Well, and we also have a podcast, Our Time to Rise. I forgot to mention that, but would love to see people.
Yes. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just have to say this at the end, you know that it is such a joy for me to see you take over the host of this show. And there is just no one better to do it. And you have been gifted in the most specific ways with people, and also with your personality, to be the perfect person for this. So I just have to say how much I love seeing you in this spot.
Thank you. Your prayers meant a ton. Thank you, friend. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.